is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Shout outs to everybody for listening wherever you might be. I am in Atlanta, Georgia. You might be at home. You might be on the road. You might be at work. You might be leaving camp. I don't know what the hell you're doing. Thank you for being here. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Thank you for listening on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM channel 375, and a smart speaker if you got one. Ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. We're heading into day two of the NBA draft. We just talked about Austin Reeves, a guy who went undrafted. Well, he turned down some money from the Los Angeles Lakers. He's looking for bigger money next year. We talked about Ace Bailey, selected at number 5 by the Utah Jazz. Didn't work out for them. Apparently, Ace Bailey is going to go work out with Utah in the summer league, regular season. We expect him to. Of course, Cooper Flagg selected number 1 overall. In a few minutes, I'm going to tell you about Justin Tucker. Not on an NFL team, and maybe he gets picked up later in the year. I'll explain, because he's been suspended. How about this? I just told you about Ace Bailey. In about 20 minutes, Ben Anderson is going to join us from Salt Lake City, Utah, KSL Sports Zone Radio. I'll get his thoughts on the Utah Jazz. Kevin Durant, he says he wants to hang him up as a Rocket, reportedly, allegedly. I think we might have heard that one before. And so we got a lot to get into. Michael Yormark, the CEO and president of Roc Nation Sports, he'll be here at the end of the show. Of course, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. If you want to talk to me, you can. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Man, as we get ready for this second round of the draft, which is just irritating. It's the NBA. We don't need two rounds of the NBA draft. Just get it over with in a day. Used to get 60 guys out there, show up and leave. And not even 60 guys at the Barclays Center or whatever the hell they hold in the draft. You just get like 15 dudes out there. Everybody goes home. Two-day NBA draft. This ain't the NFL. Next thing you know, they'll be stretching it out until Saturday. We don't need that. We do not need that. But anyway, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they had the 31st selection. They have now traded that 31st selection to the Phoenix Suns, who will now select at 31, and the Minnesota Timberwolves will select at 36. The Phoenix Suns have been an interesting franchise since Matt Ishbia took over. He said, yeah, why not get Kevin Durant? Why the hell not bring in Bradley Beal? Why not bring in players who can play defense? Why not have a bench? We don't need a bench. We're going to have three stars. And then they did it. Okay. Got rid of Kevin Durant. Bradley Beal didn't want to leave. Now Kevin Durant is mad. So now he's in Houston. And as a result, the Suns, as it stands right now, have Devin Booker, Jalen Green, Bradley Beal, who won't be there long, Dylan Brooks, who's a part of the trade. They just traded for Mark Williams last night. Mark Williams is never healthy. That's the guy who was traded to the Lakers from Charlotte. And then the Lakers said, no thanks. His body looks like it's going to fall apart. And then the Suns also drafted Malawak from Duke, the gigantic gentleman from originally from Sudan. I think he ended up coming in via Uganda. I don't know what the hell the Suns are doing. Eventually, these pieces have to get flipped. Hopefully, they have some depth to it. The Phoenix Suns are just they're like the Western Conference version of the New York Knicks. Yeah, less stupid than the Knicks, but pretty similar. Anyway, speaking of stupid, man, be careful with your dumbass decisions. Some of your decisions can put you in prison. I'll talk to you about that in a second, or maybe not in prison. And some of your decisions can cost you your job. Yeah, somebody listening to me right now understands, because they've been to work and they've been told, hey, you got to watch it. Somebody's been to work and has been told, hey, you need to get your act together. And some people, unfortunately, they can't go to work because of some of their decisions away from the job. Unfortunately for this man, the NFL has found enough reason to tell him, hey, bro, don't come to work. Listen to this, courtesy of CBS Sports HQ.
Breaking NFL news here on HQ. The NFL has suspended free agent kicker Justin Tucker for the first 10 weeks of the season for violating the league's personal conduct policy. He was released by the Ravens back in May in what the franchise called a, quote, football decision. It's notable that his release came just a few months after he was accused of sexual misconduct at multiple Baltimore area spas. That prompted an NFL investigation. Tucker vehemently denies all allegations, but the earliest he would be eligible for reinstatement is November the 11th.
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be reinstated on that day. You want to talk about accusations of sexually inappropriate behavior? He was allegedly, reportedly, I wasn't there, doing the Deshaun Watson. 16 different massage therapists, 8 different spas. Justin Tucker was allegedly going to places and showing places and exposing places and things that you're not supposed to do without consent. Now, he has denied this in the past. Apparently, the NFL, after its own investigation, has decided, yeah, you have violated just our personal conduct policy, which means, man, you've been doing some things that are going to get us in trouble. So we're going to punish you. Justin Tucker's already been punished by the Baltimore Ravens. They kicked him off of the team. They drafted Tyler Loop out of Arizona to basically be his replacement. And so after 13 seasons, being a 5-time All-Pro, being a Super Bowl champ, being the most accurate kicker ever, he's probably, maybe, possibly going to be out of a job. Let's go back to last month, almost exactly a month ago. John Harbaugh, the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, talked about cutting one of the greatest kickers of all time.
It was a complex decision-making process, and I'm a part of it. Eric, Sashi, Ozzy, Steve is a big part of those kind of decisions. I mean, you're talking about, you know, arguably the best kicker in the history of the game. You know, and like we said, it's multi-layered, it's complicated, but you've got to, in the end, it all backs up. It all comes back to what you have to do to get ready for your team to play the first game. And I think if you step back and you take a look at all the issues and all the ramifications, you can understand that, you know, we've got to get our football team ready and we've got to have a kicker ready to go. And that was the move that we decided to make. So in that sense, it's a football decision, you know, and now we have to spend all of our focus and our time to get these kickers ready. And we've got a competition going on and get those guys ready to go make kicks. So that's all I'm thinking about. Like, from my perspective, it's like, we got to have a kicker out there making kicks, you know, and what's the best way to get that done?
Yeah, it doesn't, well, in Justin Tucker's case, it doesn't help that last season, he didn't have a Justin Tucker-esque year. He started off bad, was able to finish the season on a high note, but ultimately he only completed 73% of his field goals. Not Justin Tucker-esque. He started the season by missing 8 out of 27. If this man was old Ironfoot, if he was knocking down, you know, 40 out of 40 field goals, not that he would need to with the Ravens, they got some offense out there, would he have still been cut? I'm not so sure. I think maybe the Baltimore Ravens would have waited a little bit longer in the process. If he was a little bit younger, not as older in the tooth, 35 years old, not bad for a kicker. We've seen the Morton Andersons and guys go into their 40s. But if he was younger and he was more accurate, if he was Justin Tucker from a few years ago, I think they would have held on just a little longer. And so I think in the case of Justin Tucker, I'm not so sure we're going to see another NFL team pick this guy up. He hasn't been charged criminally. Nobody has slapped him with this. The NFL did not wait. They did their own investigation, and they found him to be guilty of, here we go, get ready for it. I said this about Deshaun Watson, of being a pervert. Pervert! Okay. They found him guilty of going forward and not behaving in a way that he needs to. Justin Tucker may never kick another football in the NFL again. Is he worth the risk? Here's the deal. An NFL team can pick him up and sign him today. Why would they? An NFL team can sign him today, and going forward, they can ultimately sit him down, have him in training camp, and have him miss the first 10 weeks of the season. Why would they do that? Why do they want the attention? Why do they want the drama? You don't think people learned enough from Deshaun Watson? And yeah, Deshaun Watson is a quarterback. The other guy is a kicker, albeit one of the best kickers ever. Nobody wants the drama. NFL teams all scream up and down and round about how they don't want distractions. Some NFL team signs Justin Tucker. And what do you think some of the first questions are going to be? Not about his field goal accuracy. Not about whether or not he's going to, I don't know, contribute to a Super Bowl contender. It's simply going to be about his legal issues. It's going to be about his suspension. And it's not worth the trouble. The juice is not worth the squeeze at all. I think Justin Tucker is done here in the NFL. Now, that might change. We might get a team at the end of the season that is desperate and says, oh, my God, our kicker went down. Let's go ahead and bring him in for the end. Maybe we can quiet things down. We're in the midst of the season. Fans aren't paying as much attention. They only care about wins and losses. And we can bring him in and just have him kick. That's the only thing that will save his ass. Outside of that, I think his days in the NFL, I think they're done. I think it's unlikely that we see him kick again. But ain't nobody signing this dude to have him sitting around and rotting just as a gigantic question mark, where you also have seen that he may have lost it just a little bit. Botcher, do you think that he's done in the NFL? Do you think he'll get another chance?
He's done. With the age mixed with the fact he was declining last year, now with this off-the-field issues, there's no realistic possibility any team would give him a contract.
Now he's looking cooked. It would take a real desperate team to say, hey, let's go ahead and look. Let me tell you something. NFL teams are not the moral police here. Okay? We talked about Robert Kraft yesterday, who is the owner of the New England Patriots. A couple days ago at the Fanatics Fest in New York City, he was bemoaning the fact that the last 2 years have been the worst of his 31-year tenure with the New England Patriots. Two consecutive years of 4-13. He's going through two coaches, Bill Belichick and Ed Mayo, and now he's brought in Mike Vrabel to probably turn things around. I see Vrabel probably being there for a very long time. This NFL owner, Robert Kraft, he's had his own issues at a massage parlor. I don't know. Maybe it's an NFL thing. I don't know what the heck these guys got going on. But Robert Kraft had his own issues that went away because of mishandled evidence. We know that Daniel Snyder, I can't even say allegations of pimping out his own cheerleaders. You can go ahead and look at that. Jerry Richardson, who is no longer alive, the former owner of the Carolina Panthers, also alleged to have been pretty nasty when it comes to the treatment of women in his employ. And so let's not get it twisted about just some of the players. It just so happens to be they're not the ones with billions of dollars who own the teams. They work for them, okay? The NFL is not a moral high ground. But when it comes to making money and keeping certain guys away who might be distractions, oh, we can keep you away. Me? I own the team. Nobody's getting rid of me. Unless you're Daniel Snyder. You're kind of forced to sell that team. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, we'll talk some basketball. We're going to have a chat with Ben Anderson from KSL, the Sports Zone in Salt Lake City, Utah. We're going to have a chat with him about the man who was just drafted by the Utah Jazz, Ace Bailey. How does he fit in with the Jazz and their talent? Is he going to fit in with the Jazz and their talent? And what the heck is the plan from the Ainge family when it comes down to the Utah Jazz? We're going to have this chat with Ben Anderson on the other side of the break. You're locked into the JR Sport Re-Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, Ace Bailey. We don't know where he wanted to go. At this point, he's almost going coast to coast. This man is going from Rutgers, New Jersey to Salt Lake City, Utah. The Jazz have selected him at number 5 overall in the first round, despite the fact that he hasn't worked or did not work out with anybody. There's word about whether or not he wants to go. He didn't know if they wanted him. Who knows what the heck is going on with Ace Bailey. But to talk about his situation and how he fits in or does not fit in with the Utah Jazz in their future, joining us right now is Ben Anderson, who covers all things Utah Jazz for KSL Sports in Salt Lake City. Ben, how are you?
What's up, JR?
How the heck you doing, Ben? You good?
Man, I'm doing terrific. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. All things considered, were you surprised that Ace Bailey was selected by the Utah Jazz?
Yeah, I was. You know, there was enough smoke that either the Jazz would pass on him and let him fall to Washington or New Orleans or Brooklyn, one of his maybe preferred spots. Or I really thought somebody was going to trade up with Charlotte at number 4 and try and grab him before he got to 5. Because if he was there, it seemed like if he was on the board, maybe the Jazz would have the guts to do it. You can't really question what the Angels do. You don't know what their plan is going to be night to night.
Yeah, we know the Angels and certainly Dad Danny has never been afraid to accumulate and procure talent and potentially move them on as well as picks. It's in his history. It doesn't matter where he is. When you think about the talent that is currently on this Utah Jazz roster, and there's a lot of them. Lauri Markkanen's been in trade rumors for the longest. John Collins just opted into his deal. Walker Kessler in rumors. Who's likely to stay? Who's likely to go?
I think Lauri Markkanen's going to stick around in Utah, though he does have the most value on the trade market for the Jazz. I think they're going to keep him around. I think they like him quite a bit. He likes Utah, and that's a good match. But when you look at Colin Sexton and you look at John Collins, I think those are two veterans who have talent and have value on the market with expiring contracts and just don't really fit the Jazz's timeline at the moment. They're deep in some of those spots as well. So if the Jazz are going to make more moves this summer, which I expect to happen, I think it's going to be those two players specifically.
Ben Anderson is here with us, covers all things Utah Jazz for KSL Sports. And so how does Ace Bailey fit into all of this? And do you think all these stories coming out now is just stories? He's going to show up?
Yeah, I talked to Ace last night, and he seemed fully invested. He seemed like he was happy with his landing spot. And, you know, what else is he going to say at that point? But you've seen the reports that, oh, his agent told a team that he wouldn't report if they drafted him. It doesn't sound like if that did happen, it was Utah, which is why I think the Jazz were comfortable bringing him in. And he immediately becomes a focal point. You know, you look back to the Jazz's history, and you know, maybe since Deron Williams in 2005, I don't know they've had a blue chip prospect like this coming in with this combination of size and talent and this much runway. And where the Jazz are and how long they've been in this rebuild now, they've been waiting to get a player with this type of potential. And they like some of their young guys, but no one has become the man. And I think that's what they're hoping that Ace Bailey can develop into.
So heading into the first year, knowing that there is an expectation that they'll keep Lauri Markkanen and that they'll move some other pieces around, how does he fit in his rookie season? Of course, apparently he wanted to go somewhere where he'd be a little bit more ball dominant. Don't expect that here with the Utah Jazz out of the gate.
No, I think they'll bring him along slowly, and I think they will try to sell to him. Look at how Paul George came along in Indiana. You know, look at how Kawhi Leonard came along when they were in San Antonio. It's not just guys getting a lot of reps right away. Let's put you in a spot where you can be successful, keep you off the ball a little bit, don't ask you to do too much self-creation, and hit shots and get comfortable with the speed of the NBA. And then we're going to add and we're going to add and we're going to add. And at some point, yes, that on-ball playmaking starts to develop, that self-creation starts to develop. But I think they will let him have flashes and glimpses of it, but I don't think they're going to saddle him with too much early on, because you can break a guy if you do that.
Yeah, well, especially a guy his age. What has been the fan reaction to the selection of Ace Bailey?
Well, you have to understand, going back to the lottery, Jazz fans were devastated when they fell from 1-5, the worst record in the NBA, to the worst spot they could be in the lottery. You know, they set up the entire season to get a guy like Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey. That's what the entire year was about. 65 losses, taking fines for resting players. So to put yourself in a spot where they didn't think somebody like that would be on the board, there was pretty clear devastation in Utah. So when Ace Bailey fell and the Jazz actually had the boldness to grab him when he was on the board and not pass and not, you know, acquiesce to maybe a bigger market, Jazz fans are thrilled and they're going to be excited to see him next week at the Salt Lake City Summer League.
Ben Anderson is here with us on the JR Sport Brief show. It feels like the Utah Jazz, and it doesn't feel like it's been a reality. They've kind of been on the fringes of the NBA for quite a few years now. How have things changed with Ryan Smith in charge?
Yeah, Ryan's aggressive. And you know, he's even been aggressive in this rebuild. This is something that the former owners, the Miller family, was never really willing to do. They didn't allow the Jazz to bottom out for long stretches to acquire this type of talent and rebuild that way. And as a result, they never got to the championship. They got close in the late 90s, but that's, you know, eras ago now in the NBA. It's not even how you build teams anymore. So I think Ryan Smith with Danny Ainge and now Austin Ainge wanted to take a different approach, wanted to try to sink to the bottom, rebuild, strip this thing to the studs and build it back up. And they're recognizing the pain in that, you know, just because you fall to the worst record doesn't necessarily mean you get the best player in the draft. And so they're trying to get this thing back together. They've acquired a bunch of young talent. They just need a couple of the right pieces to fall into place to make everything else make sense. There's talent on the roster, but everybody's just a little bit miscast.
Yes, 17 wins last season. What do you expect to see over the next several days and weeks as we move through the draft and in free agency?
I won't be surprised if the Jazz are patient. You know, this is a team that's not afraid. We remember the big summer when they traded Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. You know, those trades were conducted 2 months apart. Rudy Gobert was traded the second day of free agency. Donovan Mitchell wasn't traded, if I believe, until September 1st. And then even Bojan Bogdanovic, kind of the last piece of that team, wasn't traded until the day before training camp. So if John Collins and Colin Sexton are still on the roster through July into August, that doesn't mean they're actually going to be on the team next year. So I think they're going to make sure that they get some value out of these guys. I wouldn't be surprised if they still try and wait and see if potentially a Giannis Antetokounmpo type of trade pops up as everyone else has kind of spent their trade capital. But if not, they'll make some moves to clear out the roster and they'll be young again and they should be in the lottery once again next year.
Well, we know Danny Ainge is quite aggressive. I mean, can we expect a move, some type of big move, big bang at any point in time?
You know, Austin Ainge yesterday said that the Jazz were not involved in conversations with Jaylen Brown. And I know that rumor had been floating around. And he said distinctly, you know, that's his former team. No, they weren't involved in that. But look, if the right player comes along, they run into some issues where, you know, if their pick is only top 8 protected next year, if it falls from 9-30, it goes to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And they don't want to convey that. But if you're going to guarantee yourself a playoff spot, then you're not that worried about giving up the pick. So if the right opportunity presents itself, I think they'll be aggressive. Otherwise, I still think they're unloading some talent versus adding.
Ben Anderson here with us from KSL Sports. When you think about the fan base, they've been beat up the past couple of seasons. Is there now space and room for optimism?
Yeah, there is. Absolutely. I think getting a guy like Ace Bailey and even Walter Clayton with the 21st overall pick is going to bring fans back to the stands. And this is as loyal a fan base as you're going to find in the NBA. And this is pretty uncharted territory for them. You know, several years in a row missing the playoffs, not really finding the guy. Generally, they've had pretty quick rebuilds. You lose Karl Malone and John Stockton, you get Carlos Boozer and Darren Williams. You lose Gordon Hayward, you get Donovan Mitchell the same summer. This is uncharted territory, but they're going to come back quickly as soon as there's some excitement. Look, it's Utah. There's not a ton to do here, in all honesty, so their fans love this team, and they're going to be back.
Well, Ben, you talked about communicating with Ace Bailey. He's going to be coming over from the East Coast. He apparently is a young man of very few words. I've heard him say a million times he can only control what he can control. What have you gathered from everything that you've heard, read, and also your interactions with him?
Yeah, I still don't think the Jazz were his preferred destination, and I don't think there's really any secret about that. But even I think his camp, Omar Cooper has even stepped back a little bit of just saying, look, I'm trying to do my job. I'm trying to put him in the best spot possible. That's what I was doing before the draft. And it's actually not uncharted territory. And look, because of the way Ace carries himself, because of the way he plays on the floor, he's just loud. He's exciting. He's also controversial. And it's not because he does anything off the floor. Just his style of play, I think, draws a lot of eyes and draws criticism. So there are mixed opinions of him already. And then the way he handled this pre-draft just amplified it. But no, I think everyone in Utah expects him to be here. They'll introduce him, I'd imagine, in the next few days. And he'll make his debut at the Summer League next Saturday.
Being that this is going to be one big adjustment for him, used to having a ball in his hands all the time, assuming that's where the type of situation he wanted to go to. What do you think is the best case scenario for him next season? What is the worst case scenario?
Well, the nice thing is Summer League, I think they'll just let him go. You know, I think that is the type of player who's going to eat in Summer League. He's going to be productive. He gets to play next to Isaiah Collier, who's another former Georgia Player of the Year, another huge recruit who's now been in Utah and really adapted to the environment well. So those two know each other. So I think that's going to be a nice landing spot for him. And look, even if they play him off the ball and he's not tasked with being, you know, the number one guy in Utah, you're going to see him on the floor for 25 minutes. I mean, he's going to get as much playing time as he wants, and the Jazz are going to be happy to let him develop because, again, he is their top blue chip prospect. And there's not a lot of, you know, place in front of him or people in front of him that are going to eat up his minutes. So I think he's going to see the floor a lot. I just think they want to make sure that he's developing some good habits before they start really developing some of those other skills.
Yeah, Ben, this is first time in a while people are going to be paying a whole lot of attention to the Utah Jazz and what they got going on the basketball court. Hey, Ben, I want to thank you for your time. Please tell everybody where they can follow, listen, and keep up with you and all your work.
You can find me on Twitter at Ben's Hoops. You can read me at KSLSports.com.
Hey, thank you so much, Ben. We'll catch you down the line.
Thanks, JR.
No doubt about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, you got Ace Bailey. Apparently, he didn't expect to go to Utah. Go get some boots. Go get a big old coat. The Georgia boy is out in Salt Lake City. He'll get used to it. He'll be okay. Shout out to my man, Paul Millsap. This man from Louisiana, he went out to Utah and built himself a solid career, multiple-time All-Star. Anyway, when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about an NFL player. This man, he didn't want to be where he was either. I mean, he was in a football game and he decided not to go in. Well, I'll tell you why he didn't want to go in. And no, it's not Antonio Brown. I'm going to tell you who it is on the other side of the break. If you want to give me a holler, it's 888-710-4ISN. What do you think about Ace Bailey? Did he screw things up in the draft process? Did he make the right decision? 888-710-4ISN. Yeah, I'm going to tell you about this football player. Did he make the right decision by refusing to go into a game? And we'll talk about who it is on the other side. But right now, it's time for a newsflash. Here he is, Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Hey, thank you so much to Ben Anderson for joining us from KSL Sports out in Salt Lake City, Utah, to talk about Ace Bailey being the newest member of the Jazz. And yeah, we are certainly a long way out from looking at John Stockton and Malone and Greg Ostertag and Jeff Hornacek. We're a long way away from that. It also feels real, real, real long ago looking at Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. I mean, that's a team that we knew ultimately they were never going to get over the hump and win anything. They weren't. And I got to be honest, I'm still just kind of scratching my head about Rudy Gobert and all the draft picks that Minnesota gave up to get him in the building, like first round after first round after first rounder, for a guy who has no offensive game. I mean, Rudy Gobert is nice if he's the last piece that you need on the team just to play defense. But there are other times on offense he's just a black hole or you have to move him. which is why I think he's one of the reasons, or that's one of the reasons, large reason, as to why a lot of NBA players don't respect and bully Rudy Gobert. He can certainly play defense and alter the game with his size and his height, but there's just a lot of elements of his game that are just lacking completely. And so the last time he was hanging out with Donovan Mitchell, Utah Jazz always had a ceiling. It was just a matter of when they were going to blow it up. It's been blown up, and now they hope that they have some pieces that they can move forward with, or at least, you know, flip to other teams where they can have success. But for the first time in a few years, I'm going to be paying close attention to the Utah Jazz. We can go ahead and thank Ace Bailey for it, or at least the Angels, for going out there and drafting him, despite the fact that the man did not show up to work out for anybody. Must be nice to have that type of talent, right? Last hour, we talked about Austin Reeves. He didn't get drafted by an NBA team. Austin Reeves worked his ass off and is now telling the Los Angeles Lakers, no, I don't want to take any more of your money. I'm going to hit you and some of these other teams for more money next year. Must be nice to have options. Okay? And now while we're here, this is kind of something crazy. Speaking of options, some people can't get out of their own damn way. Some people have so many options and they can't put their mind together on one singular thing that they end up hurting themselves. Like wide receiver Diontae Johnson. Yeah, you know Diontae Johnson. He played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, was with them for about 4 years, and then the Steelers said, this guy is a pain in the ass, and we're not going to extend him. Let's move him. That's what happened last year in the offseason when he was sent to the Panthers. Diontae Johnson had a season where he grabbed 1,000 yards, hauled in 8 touchdowns. Not too shabby for an NFL wide receiver. Now, those aren't numbers that will necessarily get you paid as a number one, but life as a number two wide receiver, not too bad. Number twos are getting paid about $25 to $30 million a season. But then Diontae Johnson goes from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Panthers, and the Panthers said, we don't want him. He's a pain in the ass. Nobody wants to give this guy a contract extension, especially if you're going to be a malcontent who's not performing. Are you keeping up? Just last year, he went from Carolina, played 7 games. And then after he was a pain in the ass there, they traded him to the Baltimore Ravens at the deadline to try to give Lamar Jackson some more help. This man played in 4 games and had 1 reception. And apparently, he didn't like his usage and time in Baltimore either. Well, damn it, please tell me when you're going to be happy. The Ravens eventually said, man, we don't want you either. Well, now Diontae Johnson on a podcast, because why the hell not? He was on a Sports Summit podcast, and he actually told the story as to why he got released and got the boot from the Ravens, and it has to do with him being too cold to enter into a football game.
One game, I told him I wasn't going in. I wasn't getting into, like, no run plays, no, like, passing plays, no nothing.
Wasn't it cold? You said?
Yeah, it was cold. So I'm on the sideline, just standing there, like, just going to the heater back and forth, like, going into the fourth or whatever. They're like, Tay, we need you. I'm like, nah, I don't think it's a, to me, I'm thinking, like, I don't think it's a good idea for me, like, because, like, I was thinking about, like, my legs, I'm already, I don't want to go out there and put bad stuff on film.
Right, right.
It's not like I didn't want to go in the game, but you got to think, like, leading up to this point, I done been through so much, and I told him I wasn't going in. I was like, I understand what you're saying, like, but I'm not going to go in. So I just sat on the bench. And then that's when they suspended me.
Oh, my goodness. You can listen to this man talk and understand why NFL teams get sick of him. Like, he's sitting on a podcast, an active NFL player. He has no issue whatsoever with explaining his dumbass reason as to why he didn't want to enter into an NFL game. And so you really now understand why in one calendar year, he's been on three, now going on four different teams. And I'm going to tell you the irony about his latest team, which is just absolutely hilarious to me. He went from Carolina to Baltimore to Houston in the span of 1 year. Now we know why. Because he thinks it's, well, I'm not going to say he thinks it's cute. It's a shame that he doesn't know any better. He sounds like a complete nut. He's proud of the fact that he wouldn't go into a football game because he wasn't warm. He didn't want to put bad plays on tape. He didn't want to put poor effort out. Like, what are you doing? Like, what you're doing by sitting down on a podcast is putting your brain on tape, man. You're putting your brain out there for the general public to listen to and how it works and understands and deciphers information. And it's not good. Now, here's the irony. Oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, he was, I told you, with the Texans for one game, one reception. Nice. He's now on the Cleveland Browns. Okay. He was too cold. And playing for the Ravens, he didn't want to go into the game because it's too cold. Well, what does he expect? Being in Cleveland, the guy has already played in Pittsburgh. He played four games for Baltimore. Houston plays inside. And now his last choice is Cleveland. Hey, good luck to Deontay Johnson. And somebody, if you know this man, call him up and tell him to stop talking. Maybe he has other interests outside of football. Maybe he doesn't want to make $30 million a year. Maybe he's more content with complaining. He doesn't appear to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. I don't know. I like Pittsburgh. I like Pittsburgh a lot. Is there something in the water out there? Is there something going on with their wide receivers? It's like they bring them in, they draft them or don't draft them, and then they walk out the door. It's just, I don't know, guys who've pounded their heads up against the wall. You got Plaxico Burress, who ended up shooting himself. I know it wasn't with the Steelers, but still he shot himself. And then speaking of people who just quit on teams, who can never forget the greatest quitter of all, I guess, Antonio Brown? This man was playing with Tom Brady and decided to walk off of the damn field, took his pads off, took his shirt off, and quit. In the middle of New Jersey, like it's just, it's normal. I guess Deontay Johnson and Antonio Brown, they got some things in common. Here's Antonio Brown on the pivot explaining why he decided to hang up his cleats.
No matter if anyone, no one else understand it, I did what was best for me. If you have a trauma, that's what my therapist tell me. If I have a trauma or trigger, I'm gonna walk away. I didn't do nothing wrong. I took off my equipment and took off my shirt, waved to the fans and the people that love me and walked away. That's what my therapist advised me to do. Everybody in the world, they just see the big viral moment. But it's a lot of things that lead up to people's traumas that make them be in that position. And Ryan Clark know my relationship with Bruce Arians. How many years you know Bruce Arians to hold me back? It was a while. I can't change your relationship to the game, how you're in. You know, everybody want a happy ending. I would like a happy ending right now.
Okay. Yep. From one dull knife to another one. Iron, in that case, does not sharpen iron. You should probably keep those two guys away from each other. And the last time I checked, speaking of Antonio Brown, there was a warrant out for his arrest. He will say self-defense. Maybe he gets it. He shot at a guy as he was trying to get robbed. After a celebrity boxing event, do yourself a favor, folks. Stay home next time. He's still on the run the last time I looked. Batra, have you heard anything new? He's kind of on the lam, huh?
No, he's still out there, but at the same time, he's posting things to social media.
Yeah, well, last I saw, he was in Europe. Is he stateside? I mean, is he throwing the trail off?
I wouldn't come back to the States. Stay in Europe until he get sent back.
Until you get sent back? So get kicked out of Europe.
Yeah, until I get kicked out, I'm staying away from the U.S. police.
Okay. Yeah, I think he has to figure out how to make money. Now, he's in between a rock and a hard place right now. Eventually, this man is going to be cuffed. and he's going to have to go through the legal process, and he may certainly get out of it. He has just had a history of financial issues. I don't know what his money looks like right now, but Antonio Brown, I've had my own interactions with him. I just he's had quite a life. I feel bad for him. Well, he shot at a guy. We'll see what happens after this. He's just it's a sad story when it comes to that dude. I actually wish him the best, but it's not looking good for the man, okay? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're going to take a break on the other side. Well, Antonio Brown, he decided to end his career by just walking off of the field. Deontay Johnson, well, who knows when his career is going to end. He'll probably get cut somewhere as he can't stop complaining. We're going to talk about an NBA player who just got traded to a new team. His name is Kevin Durant. Has he finally found some place where he's just going to stay and maybe now end his career? Reportedly, that's what he wants out of the Houston Rockets. We're going to talk about Kevin Durant on the other side of the break. Day two of the NBA draft is getting ready to start. NHL is getting ready to expand and more. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.